The Avondale Church Building. The building of a church in Avondale brought another test of faith and loyalty. For 2 years, we had held our meetings in a loft above the sawmill, in which the school furniture was stored. In winter, this was a cold, uncomfortable place, and in summer, the heat of the sun beating down on the iron roof made the air very oppressive. There was nothing about the place to suggest the thought of sacredness, and we greatly needed another place where we could meet for the worship of God. I am sad when I think that I should have consented to meet in such a place for worship, that I neglected until the last the work that should have been done first. In the future, in every place where I shall labor, I will make the spiritual necessities rather than the temporal of the first importance. The dearth of means was my excuse, but I should have walked by faith. I did not honor God as I should have done, had I moved out in faith, notwithstanding seeming impossibilities. The Lord proves us. He tests us to see if we will make him our trust. When he sees that we trust him implicitly, he works in our behalf, and we see the salvation of God. When the second school building was completed, we held our meetings in a room in the upper story. This was a great improvement, though the room could not be ventilated without opening windows and exposing someone to the risk of taking cold, and the chairs and desks were so arranged that the people could not kneel in worship. It was only enclosed, unsealed, and unplastered. We were not long allowed to occupy this room. The attendance at the school increased so that this room was needed to furnish accommodation for the students. We saw that we must now move out and build a meeting house in Avondale. On Sabbath, August 18, 1897, Elders Daniels and Baker came to Corenbong to counsel in regard to the building of our church and the erection of the main school building. On Sabbath, Elder Daniels gave an excellent address. The meeting room was filled with interested listeners. When the matter was laid before the brethren, they almost unanimously decided to follow the counsel of the Lord. We had a council to consider what should be done. The way seemed hedged with difficulties. £100 was all we had in hand. Some said, "Enclose a small building, and when money shall come in, enlarge, for we cannot possibly complete at this time such a house as we desire." Others said, "Wait until we have money with which to build a commodious house." This we thought to do. I was requested to visit the spot which the brethren said had been chosen for the church building. It stood in the midst of uncleared bush, and a large amount of labor would be required to prepare it for building. It was lowland, and nearer the swamp than I would have chosen. This, the brethren said, was the piece of land that Brother Rousseau and W.C. White had selected. I asked them to look at another spot. This was a beautiful part of the land, forming a gentle rise at a little distance from the main road. I distinctly remembered seeing this place when we visited the estate in 1894 with ideas of purchasing it. At that time, we and myself had selected this as a most desirable site for the church building. It was not thickly timbered, only a few large trees would need to be taken out, and the land would be ready for the building. As we looked over this piece of land now, all were impressed that this was the place on which to erect our meeting house. We thought that we need not move hastily. We could wait until W.C. White returned from America, which would be in 2 or 3 months. I returned to Sunnyside and retired to rest early. That night I was aroused at an early hour. Matters were brought before me in the night season. I was bidden to give to the people the words of the prophet Haggai. "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord." The question was asked, have you shown proper respect for the master? Have you shown the eloquence of true politeness toward God? Shall his house be left as the last consideration? He is the one from whom all your blessings flow. Every good thing you have comes from God. Has not the Lord given light to his people on this subject? Have you not had a testimony to bear on this point? Why has this matter been left till the last, which should have been the very first work done on the school grounds? Those who occupy the room in the school building should have a place in which to meet and worship God. You cannot worship God correctly where you are. You cannot bow before him in a right attitude. Build a house for God without delay. The work would have been further advanced if, in the place of occupying the room above the mill, we had shown our respect for God and our appreciation of his holiness by building a house of worship. When Abraham was sojourning in his own country, the Lord told him that he must leave his kindred and go into a strange land. Wherever Abraham pitched his tent, his first work was to build an altar to God where he could worship God with those who accompanied him as pilgrims and strangers. The Lord would have wrought for us if we had shown our faith by our works, if we had considered the greatness and glory of our God and our obligations to him. This would have testified to the character of our work as nothing else could have done. Again, I was instructed that our place of worship should be easy of access, and that the best portion of the land should be selected for it. These words were spoken: bring to God no mean offering. Secure the most favorable site. Let all bring ability and tact into the work, for this house is to stand as a symbol of the respect due to God by his people, a mark of the politeness we should ever show to the Lord of heaven. We then decided that we would take hold of the work and walk out by faith to make a beginning. The very next night, there came from South Africa a draft for £200. This was a gift from Brother and Sister Lindsay of Cape Town to help us in building the meeting house. Our faith had been tested. We had decided to begin the work, and now the Lord put into our hands this large gift with which to begin. This manifest blessing, coming after we had decided that we must build, filled our hearts with deepest gratitude to God and to his servants whose hearts he had moved to do this. When I opened the letter and saw the draft, I realized the truth of the words: if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. With this encouragement, the work was began in earnest. The school board gave the land and £100. £200 was received from the Union Conference, and the members of the church gave what they could. Friends outside of the church helped. Three were among us at this time skilled carpenters who could take hold of the work. These builders gave a part of their time, which was as good as money. Still others pledged labor, so that 12 or 14 men began work on the frame of the building. The workers were cheerful and happy, and the angels of God were with them. When difficulties arose, Elder Haskell, who was superintending the work, would call the workmen together, and they would pray earnestly for God's blessing upon themselves and the work. The Lord heard prayer, and the house was completed in 7 weeks. Just before the close of the school term, it was dedicated to God. Thus the work was completed, and we had this beautiful house, capable of seating 400 people. We thank the Lord for this house in which to worship him. He understands all the straits through which we were brought. To Brother and Sister Lindsay, we say now, as we said when the draft arrived, We thank you for helping us in the beginning by the gift of £1,000 for the purchase of our school land. And we thank you for again coming to our assistance. And we give honor and praise to him who has committed to you this treasure, and that he put it into your hearts to respond to the necessities of his work in this place. And to our brethren and sisters in Kurenvong, who sacrificed and labored for the building of this house, we say, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever.
He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, said Jesus, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. Here faith and works are combined. The one who loves obeys. The love of the heart shapes the conduct. When the Lord speaks to us, saying, go forward, it is not for us to stand and talk of difficulties, but promptly to obey, knowing that God understands the nature of every difficulty. If those in his service will stop talking unbelief and magnifying difficulties, and will move forward in humble obedience, God in his providence will cooperate with the efforts of finite man, and thus testify to the world of his omnipotence. Thus God will encourage his faithful stewards, who are ready to put all their energies and God-given endowments to the very best use. As all learn the lesson of faithfully rendering to God what is his due, he, through his providences, will enable some to bring princely offerings, as Sister Wessels and her children have done, laying upon the altar of God their offerings of Christian liberality. He will enable others to present smaller offerings, and the small offerings and the large are acceptable to him, if given with an eye single to his glory. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the ministration of this service not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by man thanksgivings to God.